Well, I encourage you to turn in your Bibles with me this morning to Psalm 4. We're spending several weeks in the Psalms this summer and early fall, and this morning we are in Psalm 4. Even though the Psalms are 3,000 plus years old, they still touch us deeply. And I think one of the reasons why is that the Psalms are about real life. They involve real people with real struggles. And Psalm 4 should touch us all. It's about trying to find inner peace in discouraging circumstances. Some believe that Psalm 4 should be connected with Psalm 3. And the heading of Psalm 3 connects Psalm 3 with a period of time in David's life when his son Absalom decided that he could be a better king than his father and attempted to usurp Absalom's throne. He moved in with some of David's wives and ended up dying in his attempt to overthrow his father. Very sad chapter in David's life. We don't know for sure what the circumstances are behind Psalm 4, but we do know this. Inner peace doesn't come easy. David's going to talk about the fact in this psalm that there are really two kinds of happiness, two kinds of joy. Some happiness comes as a result of our external circumstances. Pleasant circumstances can make us happy. But the other kind of happiness or joy or peace is inner joy. And that can only come from one place, from God. And so this morning we want to look at this psalm as David attempts to find inner peace in the midst of circumstances where most people won't find peace. Inner peace in discouraging circumstances. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, O Lord. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than when there grain and new wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for thou alone, O Lord, dost make me to dwell in safety. Inner peace in discouraging circumstances. This last week, I sat in on a presentation of a business consultant from Iowa City who recently authored a book, and he was making the rounds throughout the city promoting his book. He told of the occasion when he interviewed a CEO of a major corporation and recounted to us the words of the CEO. The guy said, "You can't learn how to run a company in a classroom. You have to learn how to run a company by just doing it. And the problem is, when you finally learn how to do it, you're too old and you have to retire." Kind of dismal. Probably some truth to that, but what that man was not taking into account was the fact that there is another type of learning. We don't have to depend just on our own personal failures to learn something. We can learn from other people. We can learn from people who have been on the same path upon which we are traveling and learn from their mistakes, in a sense, sitting at their feet. Some of us could say, you know, someday, when I've lived enough of my Christian life, maybe someday I'll finally learn how to have joy in my life that's not contingent on my circumstances. That I could have happiness and joy and be at peace even when my life is in turmoil. Maybe someday I can attain to that. Maybe when I grow old, I'll finally get to that point. Or maybe we can, in a sense, sit at the feet of someone like David, who's been on that path already, and learn from him so that we don't have to wait till the end of our life to have inner peace in difficult circumstances. I think that's why this psalm is here. So I encourage you this morning as we open up Psalm 4 to ask yourself, what can I learn from David here in this psalm? The psalm opens with really David's answer to the question, how can I have inner peace in the midst of discouraging circumstances? How can I do that? He begins with the answer. The psalmist here prays to God who relieves him in his distress. How does David find inner peace in difficult circumstances? He prays. That's what he does. Look with me at verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. He looks at his situation. We're not totally sure what the scenario is. We know from verses 2 through 5 that we'll look at in a few moments that he's under attack. People are spreading lies about him. They are not honoring him as their king. He's being hurt and ridiculed. We know that much. And as he looks at his circumstances, he cries out to God and says, God, I need help. Answer me as I call out to you. I need you. Please help me. Notice in verse 1, he refers to God as, O God of my righteousness. Now, oftentimes, when a comment like that is made, it's saying something about God's character, that God is a righteous God, that he deals rightly, that he is always just. But David's not quite doing that here. While that is true, that God does deal rightly, that he is just, David more is talking about God in relation to his people. That God always honors his covenant promises, that he is always right and just as it pertains to his people, that he makes things right for his people. Thus David says, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. God, you always faithfully do what you say that you're going to do. You always deal justly. You are a right God. He also says, thou hast relieved me in my distress. Now, if you have a New International Version Bible today, the NIV puts this as a command. They translate it, give me relief. And while that fits well with the context, that's not what the Hebrew grammar is in the original text. It should be translated as a past tense, just like it does in the New American Standard. Thou hast received me in my distress. Excuse me, thou hast relieved me in my distress. You see, what David is doing is he's looking at his circumstances, and he realizes, if there's any chance for me to have peace in my life, I need help. And he prays to God and says, God, I need you. Please help me. But it doesn't stop just there, because what David does is he, in a sense, preaches to himself. He reminds himself of who God is and how he acts on behalf of his people. So he says, God, please answer my prayer. You, O Lord, O God of my righteousness, the one who always honors his covenant promises. And then he looks back at his life and says, thou hast relieved me in my distress. As I look at my life back here and back here and back here, you've always helped me. And so he addresses his God and says, God, I need you. I need help right now. You are faithful. You are just. You always deal fairly with your people according to your promises. And as I look over my life, you have always relieved me of my distress. So now I come to you and say this, be gracious to me and hear my prayer. If you would walk into our kitchen, you would find cupboards. Pretty easy deduction there, isn't it? If you have a kitchen, most people will have cupboards. If you would open our cupboard doors, you would find shelves, and you will find full shelves. I would guess most of you have full cupboards too. We have a tendency, if we have storage space, we tend to fill it, don't we? Now, in our particular kitchen, in our particular cupboards, quite a few of our shelves are held up by these little plastic pegs. We learned something interesting about those plastic pegs. They don't really like much weight. And if you put a lot of weight on our shelves, those plastic pegs tend to break. So we thought to ourselves, what are we to do? Fortunately, in our cupboards, some of our shelves are permanently fixed. They are nailed in. They're not adjustable. So what we had to do is go and take the heaviest pieces, our dishes and different things that have a lot of weight, and transfer them from the shelves with the little plastic pegs to the shelves that were sturdy, that aren't going anywhere, that are fixed, that are stable. How did we transfer them? We had to literally pick them up and carry them over here and lay them down. We had to take them from a place that wasn't very stable and carry them to a place that was extremely stable. And that's what David's doing in verse 1. He's looking at his pain and his circumstances, and he's saying, I can't handle this. You see, in Psalm 4, it's getting close to bedtime. And David's thinking, how am I going to make it through this night with all this stuff going on in my life? He recognized that he needed peace in his life. So he took his circumstances and his situation and all the attack and the pain, and he picked it up, and by prayer, he brought it over to God and said, here, your shelf is a lot stronger than mine, and laid it there. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time doing that. In my life, I tend to either grab it, bring it over, kind of keep one hand underneath it, lay it there, and then bring it back. Or I may lay it there for a little while and pick it up and bring it back. Or I might just think about taking it over and not. David picks it up and transfers it. I want to share three verses with you that I've had to memorize just out of sheer necessity over the last few years in my own spiritual pilgrimage to help me take those burdens and lay them on God's shelf. Very familiar verses. You probably have them memorized too. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. And then Isaiah 26:3, for thou wilt keep in perfect peace he whose mind is stayed on thee. And I found myself hanging on to those verses. And saying them over and over in my heart and my mind. And there are times, completely honestly with you, when I've had to ask myself over the last couple of years, does this work? Because I'm doing it, I'm praying about it, and yet Philippians 4 says that this peace is supposed to guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus, and I don't feel like I've got inner peace. What's wrong? And one of the things I think I've missed is these verses are not just a mantra that we just say like a magic wand. There is a call here in our minds and in our hearts to acknowledge the one to whom we are praying and who he is. And there's a little phrase in Philippians 4 that I really believe I was missing. Never made sense to me until I have had to walk through it and realize how important it is. You remember Philippians 4, 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. Is that what it says? No, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. There's a lot in that little phrase, with thanksgiving. Because when Paul says with thanksgiving, he's talking about what David does here in Psalm 4. When we give God thanks, we are focusing on who he is. What does David do here? He focuses on who God is. He, in a sense, preaches to himself. And he refers to God as, O God of my righteousness. God, you've made promises to me, and you are just. You always honor those. He looks back over his life and says, thou hast relieved me in my distress. As I look back over my life, I can think of this terrible trial we went through. We had these health issues, we had these financial issues, whatever your issues may be, and God helped you through those. He was always faithful. You see, in a very real way, what David does here that helps him to have success in taking that burden off the fragile shelf of his lives that are, that his life is just held up by little plastic pegs, and bring it and let it rest on God, is that he just doesn't pray. He prays acknowledging the one to whom he's praying. He prays at the same time he's preaching to himself, reminding himself about the one to whom he's praying. The one to whom I'm praying is big enough and strong enough and faithful enough and in control enough to meet my need. Well, what David does here is what you and I need to do. Psalm 4 is all about finding inner peace in discouraging circumstances. There's not one person in this room who, unless maybe it's some of our babies in the cry room, and they've probably had some discouraging circumstances, they're just not old enough to talk about it yet. There's not one of us who haven't had discouragement. And David sits here and says, I don't want to go through my life not having any joy and peace in my life. I want to be able to go to sleep tonight at peace and secure in my Lord. And I don't want my life to just be like a little ship in the middle of the ocean, just tossed and back and forth by every wave that hits me. And so he picks up that burden and he brings it to God. And in doing so, he reminds himself, he preaches to himself about the one with whom he has laid that burden. Now, when he does that, he actually changes his perspective toward those who are hurting him. If you look with me at verses 2 through 5, we're going to see that the psalmist is going to warn them. He is going to warn those who are hurting him, not to wrong him, but to put their trust in God who set him apart for himself. What David is going to say is this: you guys, you've been hurting me, you've been lying about me, you've been attacking my character. You really need to stop. And let me explain why. You see, I belong to God. He has set me apart as his own. So much so that when I ask him to do stuff, he hears me and answers my prayer. So you really need to think about how you have been acting toward me. And then David does this. He is able to look beyond just the fact that these people have been hurting him to what their ultimate need is. And he's so able to be concerned about the people, the very people that are hurting him, that he encourages them that they need to put their trust in the Lord too. You see, in the midst of the hurt, he's able to get above the hurt and actually be concerned about those who are hurting him. Look at verse 2. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what's worthless and aim at deception? How long are you going to be attacking me and lying about me? He says, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Think about, as a New Testament believer, as a Christian, what the New Testament tells us about what happens when we enter a relationship with God. At the moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ, at the moment you finally came to the point in your life where you acknowledge that your sin separates you from God and there is no way you can do enough good things to fix the gulf that your sin has created between you and God. You can't do it yourself. You can't put enough good things on a scale to outweigh your bad. And at the moment you finally acknowledge, I'm a sinner and I need help, and then you acknowledge that God provided a way for you to have your sin forgiven through His Son, Jesus Christ, that He sent His one and only Son from the throne room of heaven to earth, taking on humanity, and in living as 100% God, as 100% man, a sinless life on this earth, and then He died taking your penalty for sin upon Himself, and rose again from the dead, proving that He's God. At the moment you put your trust in Jesus, put your dependence on Him, that His payment for sin was a sufficient payment for you and for me. At the moment we did that, the New Testament tells us we become adopted sons and daughters. That God becomes our heavenly Father. So that we too can say, hey, you need to know that that's my heavenly Father and I'm special to Him. And if you're hurting me, you need to know that when I pray to Him, He listens. You think as an earthly parent, what happens if somebody hurts your kid? I'll tell you what, you can hurt me, you hurt my kid, we're going to have problems, right? We will come unglued if somebody hurts our kid. David's kind of saying, hey, you need to remember here, this is God up here. I mean, God. And I belong to Him. He set me apart for Himself. And when I pray to Him, He hears me. Just think about that. In fact, in verse 5, he tells these guys, by the way, why don't you just take a break from hurting me? Because you really need to think a little bit about where you are at in your life. He tells them in verse 4, just spend a little time tonight trembling. You just think about where you're at in your life and how you have not been seeking after God. Instead, you've been hurting one that God loves. You just spend some time thinking about your actions. You meditate in your heart. Instead of continuing to hurt me, just be still tonight. And as David's in a position so that he can actually see them as God sees them, he's not angry toward them. He's reaching out to them and he calls to them and says, you know what you really need? You need to put your trust in the Lord. And then if you put your trust in the Lord, He'll change your heart and you'll be able to bring Him righteous sacrifices. You see, David was able to get at a point where he could see above his own pain. And I think the way he was able to was once again, he preached to himself and reminded himself who God is and what God has done for him. Verse 3 again, this is God and He set me apart and I have this privileged position that when I talk with Him, He hears me and He answers my prayer. 2 weeks ago, Barbara and I went up on a little 24-hour trip to Decorah, Iowa. I like Decorah. It is a nice town. And we just had a wonderful time walking around the neighborhoods and taking little hikes, and they have some good restaurants. It's just a nice little town. Well, you get there from here by going up Interstate 380, and then just north of Urbana, you take the Highway 150 exit, and you get on Highway 150, and it just takes you all the way to Decorah. And on that trip, you'll come to a little town I don't know how they pronounce it because I'm not from there, but it's probably, I would say El Dorado. It's either El Dorado or El Dorado. I'll say El Dorado. You come to El Dorado, it's down in this low valley, and when you're up above and look down, it looks like a Hallmark card. I mean, it's beautiful from up there. There's a tall steeple, and it's probably on top of a Catholic church, I'm guessing. A year ago, we went through there, and actually just a few months ago, and Barb and I actually drove into town, and I hope you're not from there or currently live there, but it's not very nice. When you actually get in there, it's pretty broke down and abandoned and pretty, I wouldn't want to live there. But when you get away from it a little bit, it's pretty nice, pretty beautiful. Well, I had told Barbara on this trip, I said, we have no schedule. We're just going to go as the wind carries us. And if you see a little sign that says scenic outlook, we'll take it. And we saw a sign. By the way, that's not usually how I travel. I'm more of a destination kind of guy. You know, let's get there. I don't really enjoy the journey. But this day we enjoy the journey. So we saw this little sign that said scenic outlook, and we took it. And we got out and just looked down into that valley. Beautiful. Now, if David would have stayed down in town in the midst of all of his pain, all you see is the crud. All you see is the hurt. All you see is the blemishes. But he didn't stay there, did he? He took the scenic outlook. He got above it and could see it as God sees it. He could see the big picture. And the way he did that was by preaching to himself and reminding himself of who God is and how God acts on the part of his people. One of the things that I preach to myself a lot is this statement. Nothing touches my life apart from the permissive will of God. Nothing touches my life apart from the permissive will of God. And when David got to a point where he could see his attackers as God sees them, he was able to actually reach out to them and encourage them that they could experience the same relationship that he experiences if they'd put their trust in the Lord. Well, remember Psalm 4 is all about trying to find peace in discouraging circumstances. David is being attacked. He's being hurt. And he'd like to go to bed tonight. But he can't go to sleep unless he's got peace inside. And as we come to verses 6 through 8, he's able to honestly just express from his heart, I'm going to go to sleep now. That's basically what it says. I'm going to go to bed because I'm at peace. He looks at the people around him, those under his rule, and it says, many are saying, who will show us any good? In other words, you know what? Life's not going so good for me right now. I want to have a lot of income and very few expenses. I want to be able to have that second car. I want to put on that addition to my house. I want to be able to take this nice trip. Things aren't going so good. Who's going to show us happiness? What's David's response in verse 6? You're not going to find happiness in your external circumstances, because if you wait to have a good day to be happy, you're going to be waiting a long time. Life doesn't work that way. Here's what David's response is. Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, O Lord. And I think when David said that, he's thinking back to the book of Numbers, chapter 6, when it says this in verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. And David, when he said that, said, you know what? Joy and inner peace, doesn't come from our circumstances. It comes when the Lord shines His face upon us. It comes in that relationship with Him when we are His children and He is our Heavenly Father. It comes when we take the burdens of our life and we take them off these little flimsy shelves of our own capabilities and our own ability to work everything out, held up by plastic pegs, and we bring it over and we put it and let it rest on Him. He puts it this way in verse 7, Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. You see, some people find their joy in external circumstances. Here he's talking about farmers. He's saying, hey, the economy's great. This would be my brother-in-law right now, who's a small grain farmer in North Dakota. Wheat prices right now are going through the roof. It's a happy day if you're a wheat farmer because the Russian wheat crop failed. Wheat farmers are saying, all right! I don't know if it's at $8 yet, but I think last time I looked, it was close. We're in the money. David says, well, enjoy it while you got it, because those days don't come very often. He puts it this way, Thou hast put gladness in my heart. The only way to really have joy day in and day out doesn't come from our external circumstances. It doesn't depend on how good our business is doing. It comes from God. So he comes to the end of the day, and in verse 8 says this, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For Thou alone, O Lord, dost make me to dwell in safety. Think about in your life, if you were only going to be happy on good weather days in Iowa. I mean good weather days. My perfect Iowa day is between 72 and 74 degrees. Sun is shining. A light breeze about 6 to 8 miles per hour with no bugs. And low humidity. How many of those days do we get a year, do you think? 4 maybe? 1? Some years. Just think about if you were only going to be happy on perfect weather days. Wouldn't be happy very much, would you? David says, I don't want to live my life that way. I want to have joy in my heart every day, and it doesn't come from my circumstances. It comes from God. And so he's able to say at the end of the day, even though, notice, his circumstances haven't changed, it's still the same day. Because prayer oftentimes doesn't change our circumstances. It changes our heart. And David is able to say at the end of the day, I'm at peace. Circumstances are still the same, but I'm at peace because his confidence is in his God. Father, I thank you for Psalm 4 and the fact that our joy does not have to rest on our circumstances. Help us this week to be reminded of who you are and how you act on behalf of your people. Help us to preach to ourselves and to take the burdens of our life and lay them on your shelf. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.